Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's get into the Word this morning. And we're not going to talk about Israel in the message today. We're going to go back and pick up and talk about something we were talking about before we started talking about Israel. Does anybody remember what that was? Judy, do you remember? What were we talking about? You don't? Well, you're the inspiration for this message today. So we were talking about prayer. We were talking about prayer. And so John 15, so we're going to pick that back up. Now you remember, right? All right. John 15, verse 7. Praise God. John 15, 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And in God's Word translation, it's even more astounding to me. Let's throw it up there in God's Word, Curtis. "If you live in me, and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want, and it will be yours. You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit, and therefore show that you are my disciples." These are some astounding statements that Jesus makes concerning prayer. They're almost too good to be true, except they are true. Amen. Amen. And notice again what he says there in verse 7 in God's Word. He said, "If you live in me," and had I say, whoever copied that, which was me, left off the W. All right. I just now see that. I'm sure y'all were seeing that. "If you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want and it will be yours." Are you living in Jesus? Are you born again? Is His Word living in you? He said, "And my Word, and what I say, lives in you." Those are the two conditions, he said, to me, to have our prayers answered, to abide in Jesus, to be in Christ, and for His Word to be abiding or living in us. And again, I think that is something that we need to give our attention to. Is the Word of God living in us? And for the Word to be living in us, it needs to be alive. In other words, we need to have revelation of it. We need to meditate on it until it becomes alive to us, until it becomes real to us, until it becomes more real than the negative things that this may be going on, but the Word says. But the Word, I don't care what's going on out here, the Word says. Amen. Instead of, you know, you talk to some people and they're talking about what's going on with them, and you say, "Yeah, but you know, the Bible says." "Oh yeah, I know that, but." No, the but should be the other way around. Amen. "I know that's going on, but the Word says." Amen. But the Word says. That's when it's living in you. That's when what Jesus says is living in us. Amen. When that rises up on the inside of us, and we say, "Yeah, that may be happening, but the Word says." Oh, praise God. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to keep talking about prayer. And so, Judy, I hope you don't mind me singling you out here. But Judy asked me after the last session that I taught on prayer, she said, "But Pastor, how do you pray? How do you pray?" And I thought, well, if Judy's asking that, there's probably other folks asking that. So we're going to talk more specifically. All right, how do we do this? How do we pray? Praise God. And so I'm glad that really stirred me to think on some of these things. So I've got some points, some steps that will help us. And before I get into that, though, let me just say this. Prayer is really just talking to God. It's really just talking to God. And you can talk to God just like you talk to someone else. You don't have to use... And the principles we talk about, we should apply them, yes. But you don't have to use flowery words or big sounding words. You can talk to Him just like you talk to another person. Amen? And, I do that, especially if there's something that has grieved my heart or that's troubling me. I've learned to do this. I've learned just to go before Him and say, "Father, this is troubling me. This grieves me. This has wounded my heart. But Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. Instead of letting it trouble me, instead of letting it fester, I just say, Father, I give it to you. Lord, you know this is troubling me. I give it to you. Amen. So just talk to him. Just talk to him. But here's some principles. Number one is this. Come before God. Come before God. You know, if you needed to ask me for something, you'd have to come up to me, right? You'd have to contact me. I know, you know, we can do that through a text message or a phone call or an email. But otherwise, in other words, you've got to make contact. You've got to get my attention somehow. You've got to say, hey, can I ask you something? Right? Well, that's what we do when we pray. We come before God. The Bible talks about that. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who does what? Comes to God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this verse talks about coming to God. And it talks about the role of faith in doing that. It said without faith, it's not going to work. Because when you come to God, you've got to believe two things. You've got to, number one, you've got to believe that he is. All right. And I see two aspects of this. You know, a lot of people pray all around the world, but it's just a religious exercise. A lot of people pray not even really believing that God exists. I even see this sometimes on social media and things like this. In fact, there was a guy that I'm friends with. I don't know exactly how we became friends. I think he initiated it. But I saw something some time back where he, you know, was casting off on God and the Bible and said, oh, it's in Christianity, it's a bunch of nothing. There's nothing to it. It's not real. And then the other day, though, he had something come up in some crisis, and he said, y'all send some positive energy this way, please. Well, so a lot of people pray. I tell you what, sending positive energy is not prayer. Amen. Sending positive energy is not going to accomplish anything for you. And yet he's thinking, oh, we don't need God anything, but now he ran into a situation where he needs something, and he's too proud to say, hey, would y'all pray for me? So he says, send some positive energy this way, please. All right. So a lot of people pray as a religious exercise, not even really believing that the God they're praying to exists. We believe that he exists. He who comes to God must believe that he is. But then there's another part to that is. He's not just a God who was, and he's not just a God who will be, but he's a God who is. Who is. He is. In other words, he's present right now. He's ready right now. He's not just a God who answered prayer back then. He's not just a God who did miracles back in Jesus' day. He's the God who is. And he who comes to God must believe that. In order to pray effectively, in order to have your prayers answered, you have to believe that God is ready and working now in this present time to help you. Amen. Believe that he is. And believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we seek him for help, for deliverance, for healing, for provision, for wisdom, for an answer to prayer, for peace, he rewards us. In other words, he answers us. So when we come to God, we have to believe that he is, that he's present, that he wants to help, and we have to believe that when we ask him, when we come to him, he will reward us. He will give us what we're asking. Amen? We have to believe that he grants our petition and our request. So come before God in faith. Amen. In Hebrews 4:16, it's still talking about that same theme there. He says, in Hebrews 4:16, he says, let us therefore come boldly. We got that one? 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praise God. So the Bible says we can come how?
Boldly.
With confidence. Amen. Does your translation say that? With confidence? I was pointing that out at the same time you said it. Amen. We can come with confidence to where? What kind of throne?
Grace.
Throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly or with confidence to the throne of grace. When we come before God, the place where we come is a throne of grace.
Amen.
Amen. A throne is where a king sits.
Yes.
Amen. And the king that we are approaching extends grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What kind of grace is it? He says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. That's talking about prayer. We come before God. We come boldly. We come with confidence to the throne of grace. And when we come, we can obtain mercy for ourselves or whoever we're praying for. And we can find grace to help for ourselves or whoever we're praying for. Amen. Hebrews 10:19 in the New Living, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." What gives us the confidence? What gives us the boldness to come before God? It's not our own performance. It is the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come before God because the devil will come to you and say, "God won't hear your prayer. God won't answer your prayer. You stinky person." Say, "No, I'm washed in the blood. I'm not coming in my own merit. I'm coming because of the blood. I come boldly. I come with confidence. Because of the blood, I can come right in to the holy place. I can come to the throne of grace with confidence, and I can obtain mercy, and I can find grace to help in the time of need." Amen?
Amen.
So we come in faith. We come with boldness and confidence. We come by the blood of Jesus. And then we sang it this morning. "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart." Right? "I will enter His courts with praise." Amen. Psalm 100 verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." So we come before God with thanksgiving and with praise. You want to know the protocol of coming before God? It's thanksgiving and praise. You come before Him, you say, "Father, I just come into Your presence and I thank You today. I thank You that You love me. I thank You that the blood of Jesus was shed for me. I thank You, Father, that You hear my prayer and answer my prayer. I thank You that I'm Your child." Praise God. You thank Him and praise. "I thank You, Lord, that You are the great God, the true and living God, and You have all power and might." Amen. Come before Him with thanksgiving and praise. Come before Him blessing His name. Hallelujah. And that gets you right into His presence. Amen. So number one is come before God. And we told you the different aspects of that. And then number two, second point is this. When you pray, say. When you pray, say. What does that mean? Well, Luke 11:2. "So He," Jesus, "said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" But the point is this, when you pray, you got to say. Listen. Prayer is not just putting your mind in neutral in some new age meditative state. No. Prayer is saying. Now, it is possible to pray quietly or even silently. We know that from 1 Samuel with Hannah when she prayed. And so it's possible to do that, and there may be situations where you need to do that. But even when you do that, you are still formulating, articulating specific words that you are using to form into a petition, into a request that you bring before God. It's not just zoning out. That's not prayer. Prayer is so when you pray, say. Amen? All right. Acts 16:25. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. They're in prison. They've gotten arrested for preaching the gospel. They're in prison. And at midnight, they're praying and they're singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. That means they had to be praying out loud. Right? Amen. And if there's any time that you probably wouldn't want to pray out loud, it's when you're locked up with a bunch of cutthroat prisoners and you think, well, we're not sure if we want anybody else to know that we're these crazy religious people. So, no, they prayed out loud and they praised out loud. Amen. Praise God. So when you pray, say. I like to pray unless it's a situation where I can't. I like to pray out loud because it helps me to hear my own self say the prayer. Amen. Amen. And so when you pray, say. Amen. So number three. So number one, come before God. And we come before Him by the blood of Jesus. We come before Him with confidence. We come before Him believing that He, in faith, believing He is, and He rewards us when we seek Him. We come before Him thanking Him and blessing His name. And then when we pray, we say, we articulate, we form words, and we put those words into a prayer, into a petition, into a request that we bring before Him. Amen. And then number three, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. John 16:23. Jesus, just before He goes to the cross, He's instructing His disciples and He's telling them how it's going to be after. He said, things are about to change, boys. And I know you don't understand all of it right now, but I'm telling you that in that day, after things change, after I do what I need to do to take care of business, in that day, you will ask Me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. Now, when Jesus begins a statement with most assuredly, He's saying, listen up, pay attention. It is this way. It is absolutely this way that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give you. So what do? We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Yes, it's certainly appropriate to talk to Jesus, to praise Jesus, but prayer is addressed to the Father in Jesus' name. So you'd pray something like this, Father, I come before You in the name of Jesus. And then you give Him your petition, your request. Praise God. All right. John 15:16. Jesus said, You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. Praise God. So think about that. Jesus chose us. Jesus chose you. Amen. And He appoints, say that, just close your eyes and say, Jesus chose me.
Jesus chose me.
Amen. Doesn't that just lift your confidence a little bit there?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. He chose us. He appointed us that we should go and bear fruit. How? How are we going to do that and what kind of fruit? He said that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. And so the fruit that we're to bear, just like the scripture we started with in John 15, that fruit is prayer fruit. And that when we bear much fruit, that glorifies the Father. What He's talking about is having our prayers answered. When we pray and our prayers are answered, that's the fruit that we bear that glorifies God. Amen. Now, when He says, John, when He says here that whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you, don't let that trip you up. Because sometimes when we think of may, it's like, maybe He will, maybe He won't. That's not that kind of a may at all. All right. Doesn't mean that. Let's read it in the New International Version. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last and last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Amen. And so the may is not maybe he will, maybe he won't. The may means that's the way we access it. That's the way we access it. Amen. And again, that agrees with our opening scripture. And so then number four. So that was number three. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Number four, pray according to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Pray according to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. How do I know if I'm praying according to the will of God? Well, I pray according to what the Word of God says. Amen. The Keatons mentioned a book called Praying the Scriptures by Barbara Arbo. I'll send the link to that in the e-bulletin this week as well. So you can access that. But they talked about that one night. And we've taught on that before. So we pray according to the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Let's look at this verse, 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, 14. Now this is the confidence. We started out talking about boldness, coming boldly to the throne of grace, coming with confidence. This is the confidence right here. This is the confidence that we have. See, prayer should be with confidence. Prayer is not, you know, I've used this illustration before. It's football season. And so there may be there's probably a game somewhere yesterday, or there may be one today where a team in desperation, with hardly any chance of winning the game, they're on their own 40-yard line. They've got 60 yards to go for a touchdown. There's 3 seconds left in the game. They're down by 5 points. Well, John, what do you think they're going to do? Well, I think the only option is to throw a Hail Mary right here. And so they do. So they snap it to the quarterback. He runs around, waits for somebody to get downfield, and he heaves the ball and closes his eyes and says, is it going to work? Probably not. And they call it a Hail Mary. What is a Hail Mary? A Hail Mary is a prayer, you know, from the Catholic Church. In other words, we don't, and how often does a Hail Mary play work? About once out of 100. Maybe not even that successful. But they call it, they equate that with just throwing up a prayer. No, prayer ought to be successful 100% of the time. Jesus said in these verses we read, it'll be successful 100% of the time if we do it the way he said to do it. Amen. We're not just slinging up a once in 100 chance. Come on. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. All right. We have confidence. We can have confidence in prayer that when we ask according to his will, then I know one thing. I know if I ask according to his will, I know he hears me. Otherwise, your prayer is just like the adults talking on Charlie Brown cartoons. Yeah, you know. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. That's how a lot of prayer sounds to God. Because people aren't asking according to his will. Because if we ask according to his will, he hears us. When you come and pray the word, and when you come and you ask according to his will, then the Lord says, whoo, I hear that. That gets his attention. Amen. If we ask according to his will, he hears us, okay? So how do I know I'm asking according to his will? Again, by asking according to his word, by finding scriptures, by finding promises that cover the thing that I'm asking for. Amen. And look at what he goes on to say then in this. And, in verse 15, if we know he hears us, so I know to get him to hear me, I pray according to his will, which is praying according to his word. Finding scriptures that cover it and say, Father, here's the way you'd pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, you said in your word. And then you quote that promise to him. Amen. 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 Praise God. You said in your word. that you heal all my diseases. Amen. Or whatever the situation. If we know, so if we know he hears us, so if I'm asking according to his will, according to his word, I know he hears me. And get this, and if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know Hail Mary 1 out of 100 times we might get it. No. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you. Look at it in the Amplified. You know, again, and again, it doesn't say not. Go back to verse 15 in the, there we go. There we go. If we know he hears us, we know that we what?
Have.
We know that we have. We know that we have the petitions that we've asked him. Now, let me tell you what religious tradition translates that verse as. We know that one day, maybe we'll get it in God's good time. If it's his will, if he doesn't change his mind. No, we know we have it. Amplified. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, right here, written, he's written it out. Amen. He's given it to us. He listens to and hears us. And if, or since, we positively know he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know, you get ready to shout here, with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. Praise God. Let that sink in. Hallelujah. Since we know that he hears us, we know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession. So, well, Pastor, I don't see it, though. I don't feel it, though. It's not manifested. I can't look at it. And when the natural, what? How do I know I have it? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that it's faith. That faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is my evidence that it's mine now. And when I pray, Jesus said it this way, when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, and you'll have them. When will you have them? After you believe that you receive them. The having, the manifestation, it coming about in the natural will come after you've already said, I've got it, it's mine, it's done, I prayed according to his will, he heard me, and so I know that I have it. Yep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And then, Clint, come on back up if you would. Finally this, pray prayers that are recorded in the Bible. That's a good way to pray. Go ahead. We've got some great prayers already recorded for us in the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, obviously. And we do that at prayer school. It's good to pray the Lord's Prayer and pray the 23rd Psalm. I believe I gave you that sheet, Judy, that had the Lord's Prayer and 23rd Psalm. Did I give you that? And we have those. I don't know if there's any on the table today, but we have those. It's good to pray the Lord's Prayer and personalize it. My Father, give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive. Pray the 23rd Psalm. You're praying the Word of God when you do that. Here's another one. A New Testament prayer. A prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the Christians, for the believers in the city of Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he tells them, here's what I'm praying. So here's a prayer that's recorded. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And the prayer goes on over the next couple of verses. You can look it up, Ephesians 1:15-19. It's really hard to know where to stop in that prayer, because it just is so powerful. But you can pray that prayer, and you can put your own name in there. You can pray it for yourself. Father, I'm praying. Paul was praying for the saints at Ephesus, but you can pray for yourself. And you can pray, Lord, that you would give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I would know what is the hope of your calling, and so on. In Ephesians 3, he's praying. He's another prayer that he prayed for the church at Ephesus. In verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints," and go on, and we can pray that. But you can pray, again, you can pray that for yourself. You can say, "Lord, I thank you that you'll grant to me, according to the riches of your glory, for me to be strengthened with might, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith." Here's another one in Colossians. There are almost every one of the epistles or the letters that are written to the churches, you can find a prayer that Paul is praying for that church. You find it in Philippians. Philippians is a great one. Philippians chapter 1, there's a great prayer there. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spirit." You want to know how to pray for other people, especially your fellow Christians? Pray these prayers right here. If you want to know how to pray for me, I'll take some of this. Pray this for your pastor. Amen. Lord, that Pastor David, sometimes it doesn't seem like he's got enough sense to come in out of the rain. So, Lord, I'm praying for him that you'd fill him with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. In fact, I think I would just want to pray this over you right now. Is that all right? Just receive this. Let me pray this over you. I want to pray the Ephesians 3 and the Colossians 1 prayer over you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for this congregation right now. I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning, those joining us on YouTube as well. Father, I pray to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Father, that you would grant to them, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, that they would know, that each one here today, Lord, would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Father, for this reason also, since the day I heard of their faith, I do not cease to pray for my brothers and sisters here today, and to ask, Father, that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they may walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that they would be strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, that they would be given thanks to you, Father, for you've qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So pray the prayers, again, here in Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, there's prayers. Pray these prayers. There's some good prayers even in the Old Testament that you can pray over yourself and over your life. You're praying the Word of God when you do. When King Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were in trouble, His prayer is recorded there in 2 Chronicles 20. And he starts out talking about how big God is. In fact, there's one more we'll look at. Let's go ahead and look at this one. And in Acts, I was going to just not get into this, but I believe we will. Acts 4, the early church, they've been preaching. A man's gotten healed. The lame man at the gate beautiful has gotten healed. And that miracle just sent a ripple through Jerusalem. Peter preached after that man got healed and people got saved. And boy, it really upset the Jewish religious leaders that was happening. And in verse 18, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." What were they trying? They were trying to intimidate them. Just like we see in our culture today. And trying to intimidate. You can talk about that in your little church building, but you can't talk about that in the government. You can't talk about that in the schools. You can't talk about that in the public arena. Oh, yes, we can. Amen. So they called him and commanded him not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said. Well, they're praying. When you pray, say. So they're praying, and here's how they started. "Lord, you know what these people are doing, and let us tell you about the problem." Is that where they started? No, no. They started praying, talking about how great God was. "They entered his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Lord, your God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said." What are they doing? They're quoting the word. They're praying the word. "Lord, you said in your word." "Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord," verse 29, "look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They asked for boldness and they got boldness. They asked for healings and signs and wonders and they got that too, because chapter 5 verse 12 says, "And through the hands of the apostles many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." In verse 16, "Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." So God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. And He wants to answer our prayers. He wants our prayer lives to be effective. Amen. So let's review it. We come before God. Amen. We come before Him in faith. We come before Him with confidence and boldness because of the blood of Jesus. We come before Him thanking Him and praising Him. And then when we come before Him, we formulate a prayer. When we pray, we say, amen. And we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we pray according to the will of God that's revealed to us in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And when we do that, we will be successful in our prayer life. Amen? Amen. Angela Keaton said, sometimes we get lazy in our praying. Let's not get lazy. Let's pray according to the Word. Let's pray according to the principles that God's laid out for us. Amen? He wants us to. He said in Jeremiah, "Call unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great," this is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you did not know. And in the margin of my Bible, it says, where it says great and mighty things, it says inaccessible. In other words, there are things that we can access in prayer and calling on God that are inaccessible any other way. Prayer unlocks it. Prayer unlocks the power. Prayer unlocks the wisdom. Prayer unlocks the blessing. Hallelujah. Call to Him and He'll answer you. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray right now. Father, I pray right now to You. I come right now to You, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I thank You for hearing me. And I ask You, Father God, to seal this word by Your Holy Spirit in our hearts right now. And I pray, Father, and I ask, Lord, that we would all be doers of the word and not hearers only, that we would be empowered by these words and by the Holy Spirit to act on what we have heard today. In the name of Jesus, I thank You for it. And while we're still in an attitude of prayer, I want to ask if there's anybody here in this service or joining us online, you'd say, I've never really gotten entered into a relationship with God. I don't know God. This is all new to me. But I want to know Him. I want to know God. I want to be in a relationship with Him. And you can be. You can be a child of God. These promises of prayer are made to God's children. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? He can become your heavenly Father today. Jesus looked at a group of people that were very religious in His day, and He said, "You are of your father, the devil." And you know, we were all in that camp at one time. We were all in that family at one time. The devil was our spiritual father because of the sin of Adam and Eve that passed down to all of us. But you can change families. That's what I'm telling you today. That's the good news. You can change families. You can come into the family of God. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that we were reading earlier, that it says that Jesus has translated us, or that God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the family of darkness, and into the family and the kingdom of His dear Son. You can have that today by calling on Jesus, by inviting Him into your heart. So I want to pray. Is there anybody here in the auditorium, by raising your hand, you'd say, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want to change families. I want to come into the family of God." If that's you, slip up your hand. Anyone at all in the auditorium here? All right, I don't see anyone in the auditorium, so I want to address you specifically online. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer where you can change families right now. You can come into the family of God. So just put your hand over your heart, right where you're at, and pray this prayer after me. I'll lead you in it. And you just pray it after. When you pray, say. So say it out loud. Pray it loud enough for you to hear it yourself. Because the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So it's important to say it. So I'm going to ask everybody in the auditorium here, you already know the drill. You already got your hand over your heart, to pray it with us right now. Just pray this after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I recognize I need a Savior. I'm in the wrong family, but I want to be in Your family. And so I call on the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe He was raised from the dead. And so I call on You, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away all my sin. And translate me now out of the family of darkness and into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. Jesus, You are my Lord. Dear God, You are my Father, and I am Your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, please reach out to us and get in touch with us at City on a Hill Church here. You can go to our website. There's a link to it there on our YouTube page, cityonahillchurch.us, and contact us there and let us know you've prayed to receive Jesus. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to follow up with you. Praise God.